Jan Mayen was a freelance journalist at the time. She was told by a contact in Roebourne that something terrible was happening there, and within days she'd arrived in the town. Jan joins us on the program today. Jan, good morning to you.
Hello.
By the time you got there, Jan, I understand the police investigation was underway and no one was talking much. What do you remember of that time?
Yes, it was described to me by someone up there, this is a town on the boil. And he said that this source was actually a local JP, an employee of a mining company who sat in the court every day as a JP. And he told me it's the most astounding stuff. He said the police were running a reign of terror against white and Aboriginal. And he was one of the few people that would speak to me, and he actually gave me a written statement repeating some of these things. But by this time, the police, it was a few days after the death, the police senior investigators were there. No one would talk to me. The ALS white lawyers wouldn't talk. It was difficult, but the Aboriginal people were prepared to talk, which surprised me because, well, they were scared of the police, and yet they were making very strong statements about the police, knowing that I was a journalist and reporting it.
My guest is Jan Mayen. There will be those listening in Roebourne, from Roebourne, who will remember this time 30 years ago. All I remember, Jan, is being someone, you know, sitting in Perth, reading newspaper stories, but not comprehending what was going on in the town at the time. Can you describe what your strongest memories are?
Probably John Pat's funeral. I mean, funerals are always emotional moments, but there was a very large attendance, lots and lots of people, hundreds of Aboriginal people mostly, and they had a white preacher there, and I was absolutely shocked when he stood up there in front of John Pat's coffin and berated him and blamed him for his own fate and said that he should never have touched alcohol and who introduced him to alcohol. And it was truly shocking.
We're going to play our listeners some of that. Jan Mayen is our guest. We're talking about the 30 years since the death of 16-year-old Roebourne boy John Pat. Jan, speaking of his funeral and some words that were uttered. We have those words.
Many people in this town think they know who to blame. But I want to ask you people here today, I want to put it to you. Has anybody thought about the people, these people, us people here, who gave this fellow his first drink? We can't do much about that. He's gone now. The grog got him.
How did a crowd at a funeral greet an observation of a man's death in a police cell as the grog having got him?
Well, they looked absolutely broken. Everyone had their heads bowed and they looked absolutely shocked. There was some people who were filling in the grave. It's an Aboriginal tradition. It was up there that they fill in the grave. And everyone stopped throwing earth over the coffin and just looked. It was a moment I'll never forget, and those words just brought it all back.
Jan, I understand during the time and before the funeral that a young girl was taken into custody as well?
Yes, that was just after the death, a few days before. It was just before the funeral, and yeah. A lot of Aboriginal relatives and friends had come into town. In the Aboriginal tradition, there were hundreds of extra people in town, and they were all up at this terrible, broken-down, awful pub, which is now closed, thank goodness. And a young Aboriginal woman was arrested and taken away, and everyone was afraid that she might meet with an unfortunate fate. And there was a lot of trouble, and a riot began. It was really quite extraordinary. I'd left the scene by then. I'd filed my copy, sent my stories off to The Age, and I was at Wickham, 10 k's away, and I got a call at my hotel telling me to get back quickly because there was a riot and a mob have taken over the hotel and they'd set it on fire. There were cars on fire. I mean, it was an extraordinary moment.
Jan, I introduced the story of John Pat because there will be a demographic who does not know his name, does not know his place in West Australian history. And I talked about the fact that a jury acquitted four policemen and a police aide of his manslaughter and that 57 witnesses were called over a 3.5-week trial and no one was found responsible. It was the catalyst for setting up the Royal Commission into Black Deaths in Custody. But 30 years on, Are you satisfied at all by the investigation, by a jury determination, and by a royal commission that followed?
Well, the Royal Commission examined 99 deaths in custody all over Australia, Aboriginal deaths, and not one first person was found responsible for any of these deaths. I mean, a third of that number were in West Australia, and I interviewed a lot of those families. I had a lot of trouble getting the stories published because editors didn't believe me, really. The John Pat one was very public, and it just couldn't be denied. What worries me is that deaths in custody numbers are going up and not down, and this is because more and more Aboriginals are being arrested and charged and put into, often convicted without legal advice on their side. And we've got to the stage where a third of the prison population is Aboriginal, and this leads to more deaths in custody. It's just on the law of numbers.
Why was it important for you to be at that rally yesterday to remember him?
Well, I didn't want to go, to be quite honest. I would,
really?
I'd be upset, yeah, but some of the Aboriginal people asked me to go. And it was actually good because I found some of the people from Roebourne actually remembered me. I hadn't been back for 30 years, but they knew me. So that was an unusual experience for a journalist.
Being welcome.
Well, yes, frankly. It's not something, we usually get criticised by both sides, journalists.
I'm glad you were able to talk to us today, Jan, and thank you very much.
Thank you.